Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host. And today I have as my guest, George Henley. George is a coach who runs something called the Speakers Academy just outside of Dallas, Texas. And the academy, as you'll hear, focuses on providing training for individuals who want to improve their ability to speak publicly in a variety of different places. And given the fact that as attorneys, a lot of what we have to do involves trying to be persuasive and communicating using our voice with either clients or other attorneys or the court, I thought George would be an interesting guest to explore what we might be able to do and how we may be able to approach improving our public speaking ability. We had a little snafu and recorded this episode twice, and I realize now that in the earlier episode, George tells a story that didn't make it into the actual recording that you're about to hear. But it was interesting. We were talking about how, for some people, the fear of public speaking is the number one fear that they have. They fear it even more than death. And he referenced an episode of Seinfeld, which I must admit I didn't really watch. But anyway, where it says that people would much rather be in the coffin than given the eulogy. I thought that was kind of an interesting little story. But in any case, he's much more entertaining than I. So without any further delay, here's George Henley. George Henley, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey there, Neil. It's a pleasure to join you this afternoon. Hope things are good back on the East Coast.
Well, it's pretty sunny, I'll give you that. George, take a moment and share with our audience who you are and how you came to be where you are today.
Super. Well, I am not a native Texan, but as the old saying goes, I got here as soon as I could. I've been here in the Dallas area for just over 35 years. But I've had a variety of things under the roof, so to speak, over the last 35 years. I started my own business, George Henley Presentations, 25 years ago, and that was primarily focused towards corporate training. And I did a lot of different types of corporate training for the early years of my business. But like you know, 2008, 2009 brought a major change in the business climate with the smaller depression we went through, and my business really took a major hit at that point in time. So as I was rethinking and regrouping where I wanted to go in the future, I came back to something that I had done but had not really focused on, and that was presentation skills. I'd done some of that work in the past, but I recognized that was going to be always a need in the business arena, whether it's the corporate arena or not. And knowing that, that's why I determined that I would start the Speakers Academy 6 years ago in October.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on board today, George, was because, you know, I think we often think of attorneys as being these silver-tongued devils, you know, these orators with extraordinary skills. And you only have to have been either old enough to remember watching the O.J. Simpson trial on TV, or frankly, any trial that's broadcast live on TV, or sit around a courtroom to know that that isn't always the case. I think attorneys can benefit from what you have to offer. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you think attorneys, is there a role for speech training and presentation training for attorneys?
Bottom line, Neil, I believe anybody that's in the business arena, whether they are a business owner or working within the bowels of a large corporation, needs to be able to get their thoughts and their points across to people succinctly, precisely, with great clarity, and as much as possible with brevity in mind. So I believe an attorney, whether he's doing corporate law or in private practice, he or she must be able to put their message across. If they're trying to inform, influence, inspire, and even at times perhaps entertain others, being able to do it well makes a major difference in their impression and their credibility in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think so. And just referring to it in terms of a courtroom or trial setting is cutting, a whole lot of attorneys out of the picture. I didn't mean to do that. Because I think if you're an attorney, you have the need to be persuasive and to be articulate and to be able to convey what it is you're trying to say to both your clients, to opposing counsel, to judges, to boardrooms, to the public in general. So, I mean, I think this is a skill set that an attorney would be well advised to spend some time in terms of personal development to try and to broaden their skills.
I would agree completely.
Are there one or two areas that you would consider that would be like crucial to being a good speaker? Is there any particular area that you would focus on over and above the others, or do you have a broader program than focusing on one or two things?
Well, my program is all encompassing, and by that I mean simply, I believe any great presentation is truly made up of three parts. We call it the PDF. PDF stands for preparation, delivery, and follow through. And if you're in the world of sales, and anybody who is a business owner, a business leader, recognizes that even if they don't classify themselves as a salesperson, they're selling. They're selling their self, their ideas, their product, their services, and they're doing that on a continual basis. And being able to, again, present yourself in a one person or group of five or a group of 15 or 500 can make all the difference in how well you in the marketplace flourish and grow to your greatest ability. So we work with people who really want to inspire and influence their listeners. And in doing that, they are able to connect and do it in such a way that they're not looking or feeling manipulative, but they're adding a true service to the people that they're speaking to.
So what are some of the key ways that speakers go about trying to achieve that objective?
Well, we train people in what we call the three V's. Those V's are the visual, the vocal, and the verbal. We say that that's the foundation for a great delivery. And the V's really encompass 11 core skills, 5 under the visual, 4 under the vocal, and 2 under the verbal. When people have a strong handle on those core skills, they, without thinking, are able to operate them, do them in a very casual type of manner, and make it more conversational in any kind of presentation that they're engaged in.
Well, give us an example of one or a couple of those skills that you're talking about.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Let's start with the visual, because unlike what most people think, their tendency is towards thinking that it's all about the words that you use. And I'm not saying words are not important. They are a major building block for our whole communication. But we are visually oriented. I could look at you from 50 feet away and begin to make judgments of you. And that's what we all do. We are visually oriented, and if we have, as the person that could be the speaker to be introduced, if we have in some way presented a visual that is not credible or believable, then real quickly people will tend to discount us and not really look at us as someone that they want to listen to or that they even should listen to. So those five visual components very simply are attire and grooming, number one, posture and position, number two, gestures, number three. Number four is facial expressions, and number five is eye contact. All of those present you as the visual. And when you put all of those together in a good package, you really start out on the right foot together.
You know, I think we see that so often where, you know, the expectation is established before the person ever opens their mouth. And I'm thinking of this, you probably have seen YouTube videos or else maybe you watch it in real time, shows like America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent. And, you know, some person walks out there and visually you think, well, they can't be a performer. They can't be entertaining. And then they come out and they're like this great opera singer or a great, you know, song deliverer. And you're stunned because what you hear isn't congruent with what you see.
Correct.
I think that's what you're talking about in some fashion.
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons, quite frankly, I love The Voice, because their first exposure to that person, it's blind. They can't see how they dress. They can't see how they stand. They don't see how long or short their hair is, what color they are from a race perspective. All of those things are blind to them. So they judge that person completely and totally on their voice and delivery. And that gives them what we'll call a more pure vocal judgment of them rather than seeing what they look like.
Sure. Well, then that's a perfect transition to the four vocal core skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the four vocal core skills, they're just very simply your volume, your emphasis, your speed or pace, and your pitch, the VEPP. Volume, obviously, if I'm speaking to you in a whisper, I hope you heard that. Bottom line, you can whisper in a presentation. If you whisper too much or you're too low in volume, you can't be heard. So I'm speaking a little bit of a higher volume right now because I want to make sure that my volume carries well into the microphone and into the recording that we're doing. The emphasis piece is all about what word or words you tend to bring great emphasis to. So you can slow down your pace and emphasize every single word. And then that draws attention. Oh, I guess this is important. So we've got the pacing mixed in with the emphasis. And then finally, the pitch. In our world, we tend to be a little bit more prejudiced towards those with, shall we say, the lower vocal tones, the more resonant, deeper voices. That's why, as an example, James Earl Jones, Morgan Freeman, and guys like that do a lot of voiceover work because their voice it's got a real mellow, resonant tone, and people love listening to that.
Yeah, for sure. And then lastly, of those three Vs, we were going to talk about what some people often think of as the most important, but you know, maybe they're equally important with the other nine or so, and that's verbal.
The verbal. So really, the verbal is comprised of two things that you might not expect, but they are so crucially important. The first is the removal of fluff and filler. And people unconsciously don't recognize how much fluff or filler that they put into their language unless it's been shown to them via a recording. I remember 27 or 8 years ago, I joined Toastmasters International. And that gave me my first exposure to someone really carefully listening to me. And every time I would insert an or a but, well, not a but if I inserted a word like, you know, so repetitiously or inappropriately, the buzzer would go off. And in hearing myself and then doing some recording of my voice, I began to recognize how to remove the fluff and the filler. And that's a crucial piece. Because if you've been in a conversation that is peppered with fluff and filler, before long, you're completely distracted by that rather than the meat of the message itself.
Sure.
Finally, how do you get rid of the fluff and the filler? It's the pause, just like what I just did. Now, in the world of sound, especially like radio or in a podcast, you don't want dead space or dead air.
Not too much of it.
Not too much of it. But at the same time, when you're speaking to someone where they can see you, you shouldn't be afraid of that whatsoever. And it's those who know how to use the pause and use it effectively, impactfully, and at the right moment and with the right length of time, they really grab your attention.
I think that's so true. I'm lucky enough to have a grown daughter who's an actress, a stage actress. Mm-hmm. And I see that so frequently with actors on stage who are able to use that pause and create that space that allows them to connect with their audience. And I think we as attorneys sometimes are hesitant to allow that, to use the pause judiciously and think we have to fill up the time all the time so that we're always talking and running our sentence on and just keep filling up the void with noise, and it's self-defeating.
You're right. I've loved some of the courtroom scenes we've seen in various movies, and those that are really well done, you see the pause used for great impact and effect, and people are then literally leaning forward waiting for the next word. And it's that next word after the pause or the next phrase after the pause that delivers the bam, the punch or the punchline that captures people and go, okay, got it.
So along those lines then, are there things that people do when it comes to making presentations or speaking publicly that habitually sabotage their performance? Or we talked about fillers and using ums and ahs and that kind of thing. But are there some other things we should keep our eyes open for, our ears open for?
Yes, good point. When we think in terms of delivering a presentation, even a 30-second to 1-minute networking type of presentation, every presentation should start, very simply, with a purpose. What is the purpose for me speaking right now? And I divide that purpose into 4 general, very clear, simple categories. Is it to inform? Is it to inspire? Is it to influence? Or is it to entertain? Or perhaps a combination thereof? If I'm at a networking meeting, as an example, and I have my chance to stand and speak for 30 seconds, hi, my name is George Henley. I'm the CEO and founder of the Speakers Academy. At the Speakers Academy, we work with business leaders who want to inspire and influence their listeners. Again, my name is George Henley. I run the Speakers Academy. Your first session is free. Boom, I'm done. But I started that with a very clear purpose in mind. That purpose was to inform them about who I am, what I do, and what we do at the Speakers Academy. Every presentation, whether you're in front of a judge, a jury, a client, or just a person that you're speaking to, your daughter is an example. There is some kind of purpose, and the more clear we are about our purpose, the easier, quicker, and simpler we'll be able to get it out and make that connection we're trying to make.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work you have to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that strengthens your practice and can save you hours each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and more cases without adding stress or chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. No more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. And Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone on your team is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through the Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Getting a new website design can be a real pain point for attorneys. You're busy practicing law and running your firm, and the last thing you can afford is to waste time dealing with an incompetent design team that doesn't understand what you're trying to accomplish. So if you've been putting off that new website for your law firm, I get it. But what if I told you that getting a new website created for your law firm doesn't have to suck? My friends at Spotlight Branding pride themselves on their responsiveness, on great communication, and on delivering results for their clients. And unlike many law firm marketing companies out there, Spotlight Branding doesn't lock their clients into long-term contracts. In fact, they offer a no-risk, money-back guarantee on their work so you can have total peace of mind while you work with them. I trust the team at Spotlight Branding, as you know, to build and manage my website, as well as manage my social media strategy, my monthly email newsletter, and a whole lot more. I recommend them to solo and small firm attorneys every chance that I get. They're currently offering a special gift for our listeners, so visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE to learn more. Brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. So are there specific skills or techniques that we can focus on to try and develop or improve our performance as a speaker?
Good question. Practice every day. In other words, become very thoughtfully conscious of every conversation that you have. You know this guy by the name of Ben Franklin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Franklin had an incredible humility and desire for self-improvement. And in reading his autobiography a little bit earlier this year, I came to appreciate him and respect him so much more, partly because Franklin had what he called his 13 virtues that he was consistently working on all the time. And he had them on something similar to what we would call an Excel spreadsheet. And what he did was literally, Neil, every day he would focus on one of those 13. But it wasn't like he completely forgot about the other 12. They were on the sheet, just not the center point of his focus.
Interesting.
So for example, he would focus on patience or on frugality or on compassion. And for that day, he would put his complete focus there. At the end of the day, he would make a little check mark if he did well, or maybe an X or two X's if he saw during the day that he didn't stay focused and do it well. So for the speakers that I work with, I give them something very similar. It's like the same Ben Franklin check sheet. They then can think about one of the 11 core skills or even the attitude of who they are as a speaker, and then work on one thing for a day. And with that kind of clarity of focus, holy mackerel, their growth is amazing.
Oh, I like that systemic approach to developing yourself as a speaker. You know, one of the things I've struggled with personally is rehearsal.
Mm.
You know, I've read and seen people who rehearse their presentation or stand in front of a mirror or have their, you know, significant other listen to them, and I've never been able to get to that point myself. I go over it in my head. You know, I think about it a lot, and sometimes, you know, for a litigator who's going into court, most of our listeners who are litigators know that feeling of lying awake at night the night before trial starts, just going over that stuff over and over again in your head. You said rehearsal was a technique that we can use. Does it have to actually be, you know, out loud on your feet or verbal, or are there other methodologies?
There's a great story about a guy who was captured in a wartime and became a prisoner of war, a POW, and he was locked up for, I imagine, 6 or 7 years. And the story goes, and it's supposed to be built around a true story, that during those 6 or 7 years in captivity, every single day, without fail, in his mind, he would go and play the 18 holes of his local golf course because he was an avid golfer. So he saw himself on the first tee and teeing off and hitting a great drive down the middle of the fairway. From there, making an incredible chip shot right up to the edge of the green. And from the edge of the green into the cup, one more shot, beautiful putt, boom, and it was done. And because he did that kind of visualization religiously, relentlessly, guess what happened to him when he came home and got out on the links for the very first time? True story.
Yeah.
He lowered his score by 10 strokes.
No. Visualization can be an appropriate technique.
Very powerful. Great Olympic athletes do it all the time. And what all the science and the research says, it's almost as good as a true dress rehearsal if you are putting your mind deeply into that place and reviewing every single aspect of the environment, the people, and what you will be saying, because the subconscious mind absorbs that, accepts that, believes that, and prepares you for that.
You know, I alluded to my daughter, and I'm just going to make a shameless plug here, BernadetteBentley.com, if you want to look her up, BernadetteBentley.com. As an actress, TV actors and the like, and movie actors, they're able to film a scene or part of a scene at a time. So they only really have to prepare for that small piece.
Right.
Whereas stage performers, they have to know their lines from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And A couple of months ago, I was lucky enough to go see the Broadway show Hamilton. Phenomenal show, but the dialogue was unbelievable. The lyrics in the soundtrack of Hamilton are just spectacular. I have no idea how these actors and actresses remember that volume of material. Is there a technique you can point us to help us remember what the heck it is we're trying to talk about?
Sure. Well, you and I went through some of the same kind of learning, just not as extensive. I could start a little song, and I know you could finish it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then you would pick it up and go, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Sure.
And I would pick it back up. Q, R, S, T. So anytime you put words to music, all of a sudden it's a deeper ingraining of those words. And when you've got words to music, you can pull out because of your age, songs that you learned back in junior high or high school, and most of them will just come at the snap of your finger, and you'll have those words and you go, how the crap do I remember that? But you sang it repetitiously, it ingrained it in your mind, and that music and that tune tends to lend itself for a stronger memory aid.
So I guess what you're, because I don't really think we can go through a song and dance in front of our clients or the judge, but I guess what you're saying is that if you involve more than one sense, or if you try and use visualization or some other techniques, you'll have a better chance at remembering the outline that you're trying to work from, or is that it?
Yes. One of the things that I make sure I do is if I've got a group of, shall we say, 12 to 15 people in a training course, I get their names down pat when they walk in the door.
Now, that's another thing I can't do.
Well,
it's so funny. In a previous lifetime, when I was a teacher, I would remember students forever.
Sure.
But I have family members I've met 100 times. I can't remember their name.
Well, that says something about the level of importance you said.
Well, that may be true, too.
So that's very human, because all of us have gone through that very frustrating thing. You go, God, I just met her 25 seconds ago, and I still cannot recall her name right now.
Right.
but when we place a lot of importance and we begin to use some great memory keys, then we begin to look at, because as an example, I knew a guy years ago named Neil. And so when I was looking at your name, I in one way took his face and superimposed it over your face, or at least over your name, to where I was thinking, okay, that's Neil. So that's just one of many different things that you could do. Now, there's also this thing called accelerated learning techniques. And there's been a lot of great research. And that's one of the things that we do when we're working with people in the Speakers Academy is help them apply the accelerated learning techniques, such as SAY. That's an acronym, subject, audience, yourself. All of those things build for stronger memory and retention.
Well, George, it's a fascinating subject. I think, as I said in the beginning, it's an area that as attorneys, we would be well advised to spend time developing and working on that skill. Tell our audience a little bit about what one does at the Speakers Academy and how they might go about getting in contact with you if they want to pursue that as a objective.
Absolutely. The Speakers Academy can be found on the web at www.thespeakersacademy.com. No spaces, nothing else in there. It's simply there. And there you can link up with me. We run ongoing open to the public sessions here in Dallas connected with meetup.com. So people in the Dallas area can go on Meetup and go to the Speakers Academy and lock in and come to any and all of our open sessions. But we also do one-on-one coaching, whether it's face-to-face or via our Zoom video link. And now we're just starting to do some video or some corporate learning sessions as well. I've got two different corporations that I'm in the process, put together the first one with Fujitsu recently, and then we're getting ready to move to another big local corporation, TI, and we're going to start doing a lot more corporate work again. So I work with corporations, I work with individuals, I work with small business people, I work with those who have a true desire to want to improve their communication skills and put themselves out there and connect with others in a powerful, personal way.
And so the best way for people to get in contact with you is to go to that website and reach out to you that way?
Absolutely. That's the way to go.
Terrific. Well, George, I want to thank you ever so much for being available to me today. We had a little snafu earlier this morning. We resolved it this afternoon, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us and wish you all the best and hope that that good things come to you as you go forward.
Thank you so much, Neil. It was a joy to be with you this afternoon. And if I can come back at some point in time in the future, I'd love to do that as well. Have a great day.
Sounds great. Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through the Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.